Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
A statement has just been released, I can tell you, by the family of Nell McCafferty, whose death has been announced today. The statement reads, "There aren't words to convey the emotion that we feel at the loss of our Nell. We are humbled and comforted by the outpouring of love, respect and admiration on this rainy August day. We once again rely on the woman herself to express the depth of our feelings in just two words. Good night, sisters," ends that statement from Nell McCafferty's family. And "good night, sisters" was the phrase used by Nell McCafferty to sign off at the end of TV appearances and also the title of two volumes of her writing. Well, fierce and fearless. And one of the foremost journalists in Ireland in the latter half of the last century, as I say, the death of Nell McCafferty announced today. To share with us their memories of Nell, I'm joined by two people who knew her very well indeed. Friend and Irish Times journalist Kitty Holland and writer, friend and fellow campaigner Evelyn Conlon. You're both very welcome to the programme. And can I offer you both my condolences on the loss of your friend? First of all, Kitty, you've known Nell McCafferty basically all your life. She was a friend of your mother's.
Well, she was, because I suppose I kind of feel a bit uncomfortable with describing her as a friend, because really she was a friend of my parents. Mm-hmm. But I knew her all my life. Indeed, my mother brought me as a newborn baby in 1971 round to Nell's mother's house in the Bogside, to Lily, and to my mother's. My mother didn't have me baptised, which was very controversial in the 1970s. To her horror, she went into the living room and then into the little side kitchen one afternoon and found Lily McCafferty baptising me under the kitchen sink. Such was Lily's concern for my soul. So that's, you know, I suppose the kind of closeness, you know, that Nell's family felt they had for my family.
That is amazing. Yeah. And they were over and back to each other, were they, in terms of visits?
I mean, my mother was, Mary Holland, a journalist. She covered the North, indeed, from like the late 1960s. And she, that's where she met my father. And she would have been, in and out of Nell's house all the time. Nell lived at home with her parents, and she would have been in and out of that house in the Bogside all the time. And Nell, obviously, over to our house then. And I do have memories of Nell and, you know, people. And it really does feel like the last of one of the, you know, some of the great women. You know, memories of my mother's dinner parties were, you know, Nell McCafferty, Nuala O'Fallon, Marion Fanouk, and Evelyn Conlon, who you have there, Lelia Doolan, Patsy Murphy, a great friend who taught journalism in Rathmines, and like they were the sort of the troubadours of the kind of, you know, the feminist movement in Ireland in the 1970s, and they would spend many hours into the late hours, you know, putting the world to rights. And you know, like Nell was difficult, and she infuriated people, and she, and you know, hurt people's feelings. There's no doubt about it. But I suppose she hurt the right people's feelings. But she never suffered fools gladly, and that was the same around the dinner table as it was in her journalism. She spoke her mind, and I remember her upsetting me even, you know, as a child and a teenager with some of the things she'd say. She'd cut you down quickly if she thought, oh yeah, she had no qualms about that. But she was also I kind of think that was a vulnerability in her, really. You know, she had an immense kind of kindness and gentleness and softness at her heart as well, you know. And she, you know, she had her own difficulties, and she had, you know, she had a tough life in many ways, because although, you know, she's celebrated as a fearless and passionate and unapologetic trailblazing feminist socialist icon, she, you know, she she couldn't fully come out a lot, you know, until later years about the fact that she was lesbian and that the fact that she, and that I think that goes to the heart of the complexity of her as a woman.
And you're saying that caused her angst, is it, Kitty?
I think it must have, yeah. I mean, I never spoke to her about it and I never heard her speak about it, but I think it must have, you know, to not be able to fully be yourself is you can't thrive if that's the case. And I think that drove her in many ways, her passion to call out social injustices wherever she saw them.
Amazing in one way, when you say that you can't thrive, and that's totally understandable. But in another way, it's hard to look at the career of Nell McCafferty and say she didn't thrive. Thrive she did. And I'm trying to imagine, Kitty, those parties in your mother's house and Nell being a key character, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And she, and you wouldn't be able to get her to go home. I think that was another thing as well. She'd be absolutely the last. And I remember times when the house would run out of wine, and Nell would say, "Surely, Mary, you have a bottle of whiskey there somewhere," you know. And the whiskey would have to be brought out. And yeah, she was boundless energy to, you know, for conversation and for talk and discussion and debate. And she thrived in so many ways, but I think at the very core of her being there was a vulnerability and a softness, and like I certainly saw that kindness and love that she had, like certainly from my mother and I know from my father as well, because like she was among the very last people at my mother's deathbed when she died 20 years ago, and Evelyn was there as well in the hospital, and like she cared so deeply for the people she loved, and she would fight for them, and she, you know, and she cared so deeply about Derry and about people facing injustice. So, you know, there was a steeliness to her, but also a real gentle, soft, compassionate heart to her as well.
Yeah. Can you stay with me, Kitty? And may I say, sure, you speak so lovingly and so knowingly about Nell McCafferty. Stay with me. There was a knowing laugh, Evelyn, if I might say, when Kitty said you couldn't get her to go home at some point. You were a good friend of Nell McCafferty's and a fellow campaigner. And you saw her, I'm told, shortly before she died.
Well, I'm very, very glad that I went up to see her last week. It got obviously a little bit more difficult to go up. That's a long road up there, but she knew the road very well, and I just had called in to see her before heading off on my holiday. So I'm very glad I did that. We all will have our memories of her, and of course it's a very interesting thing. I mean, I'm listening to Kitty, and Kitty really did know her. Because she grew up with her. And of course, Mary Holland would have told amazing stories about Nell as well. And there could be great fun there. And of course, so Kitty knows her in a certain way. But then there's an interesting, and I know her in a different way. But also, so many people in the country feel that they know her, even if they didn't know her. And it's
correct,
funny, I'm
yeah.
listening to Kitty there. And there's a certain wisdom to what she's saying, although I'm not sure about the being out bit, because in a way she was out and quite clearly having relationships. She was always having relationships with women. She was slightly worried about her mother knowing, but then her mother did know, but then she didn't know. So it was all, there was a little bit, there was certainly, nuance is a word that's used a lot now. Ambiguity is what I would say was around Nell's life. But
okay.
there was another thing that was deeply saddened about her as well, really, you see, was the conflict living in the South with the way that she could write about the North. And that caused its problems too. I mean, I've been reading her today. She was a great person to go to a concert with, because what you'd do if you were going to the concert with, you'd listen to that person, their music all day long. I was reading her all day today because that seems the only thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we really will remember her for. But then again, looking back at, again, going back to what Kitty was saying, this thing about everybody knowing her. You know the things, you know, at times in life when there's something wrong and, you know, we have a place that we can go for a walk,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this case, maybe the sea or whatever. And I remember a number of times when there were times that Nell, things weren't going brilliantly, and you couldn't walk with her to walk these things out, because there would be 20 people would have approached her within the first few minutes.
Wow.
And in that thing, when you're talking about Goodnight Sisters, which she, of course, said was that the beginning of her being at Clown, it was a wonderful programme. Marion Fanouken and Dorothy Vrain. I'll miss some of the people out, so they'll forgive me if I've left some names out.
Yeah.
But Nell's piece at the end, which was deeply serious, highly mischievous, and yet and also savage, but yet at the same time implicated everybody in the country in that wink that she did at the end. And there are many ways of changing things. And Yvonne Boland talked at one point in a foreword that she does to her book, and I mean, there are lots of Nell's politics that Yvonne Boland wouldn't have agreed with or wouldn't have seen eye to eye with. But she talked about her being a born witness. And in many ways, I feel that was the extraordinary thing about her, how she witnessed things.
And the way she was able to witness and change or effect change through her words. You have a great story, Evelyn, if I may ask you to tell it. The story about the flowers and the phone call you got from Nell during the Kerry Babies case.
Well, you see, the case was going on, the so-called tribunal, which was, of course, a total farce. It was nothing of the sort. And it was just the destruction of this young woman. And it was just appalling. And this was in the 1980s, which was probably one of the worst decades for Irish women, partly, I think, because we had begun to shout out and therefore it was all coming to whatever. But she was at the court case and was reporting on it and was getting more and more horrified each day. So she telephoned me and said at one point, look, how is there any way we could start maybe getting some flowers? If we could get a few people to send flowers so that the courtroom and the courthouse doesn't look so appalling for Joanne Hayes and her family when they walk in every day. So you always had serious intent with Nell, and then it turned into quite witty events, of course, as well. So we had a great conversation as to what colours of flowers we should get. Mm-hmm. And some stories, of course, about Nell I can't tell, and maybe this is one of them. But anyway, we decided that we would finish on yellow, that was it. And I was to get a number of people to send flowers, and then I was to ask them to get a number of people to send. And what was terribly interesting was that within a few days, from all over the country, there were people who sent flowers. And they were the kind of silent people who were being changed by what Nell wrote. Because it wasn't all radical women who were totally involved in the arguments. It was ordinary people, women and men, who decided that's not right.
Yeah.
That's not right.
That's
and she had that great capacity.
Well, she had that great capacity, as you see. You speak about her so well as well, Evelyn. Can I ask you both finally, and it seems to me, you said something very, very astute, I think, Evelyn, that people thought they knew her, even though they didn't. And I'm probably one of them, of course, because like everybody else watching her in questions and answers on programmes years ago, there was always great crack when Nell was on the panel.
Yeah.
But very, very serious points being made. And I think politicians were afraid of her, to be brutally honest. That was my judgment at the time, years ago. Anyway, what will you miss? Can I ask you both this? Kitty, what will you miss about Nell McCafferty?
Oh, gosh. I mean, as I said, she was so complex. You'd see her on the road and you'd cross the road not to bump into her because you'd be afraid she'd give out to you. I suppose, without wanting to sound trite, her honesty, her bravery, but also it's just her truth, you know? Like, even when she did cut you down, and it would really hurt your feelings. You'd know she was actually calling it right, you know. And that's, I suppose, you know, she didn't mince words. She wore her heart absolutely on her sleeve. And I think that's, you know, that she was absolutely, in so many ways, she was so herself. And then, as I was saying earlier, there were bits of her that just she couldn't be fully herself. And I think that's the beauty and the complexity and the maddeningness of her.
Well said. It only hurt your feelings because you cared about her opinion, suppose, Kitty.
Yeah.
The same question to you, Evelyn, if I may. What will you miss about Nell?
Well, you know, I've missed her a little bit, you see, when she's got sick over the last little while as well. And, you know, you kind of, you know, getting old is not for the faint-hearted, as they say. And she had a lot of health issues. So I'm thinking that in her honour, which is the sort of thing that she would be at, and then should I can hear her given out to me, I think I'm going to try and not miss her too much. I'm going to try and go and get all the work that she had written. See also, Lily Putt had also done a reader of her. Attic Press obviously can't do those books anymore, but Lily Putt had done the reader. And try and get to make sure that not only do I get to read her again, but that other people get to read her again. She is one of the most important journalists to read for everybody. So I'm going to try my best to keep her there in my head.
Why am I hearing Nell McCafferty say something like, good on you, when you're saying, I'll try not to miss her too much, but read her work? You've paid a beautiful tribute, you both, to the late Nell McCafferty. Now, to borrow a phrase, good night, sisters. And thank you both, Kitty Holland and Evelyn Conlon, friends, and in Evelyn's case, a fellow campaigner. Thank you both very much indeed.